Blog Talk Radio.
Our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight just to land on the line.
NBA playoffs is upon us. The ball has tipped off, and Golden State's already wrapped up this series. 57-39, almost that half, and it is official. The last shot went up. Actually, there's a foul, so I'm sure they'll get a little bit more points. Gerald McGee is taking over. You know, every year it seems like the Warriors have a new MVP. And I think McGee is filling in. I think he had the 8 points when the whole Spurs had 8 points early. So anyway, if this is the first time you're listening to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast, that's right, we're labeling it. Instead of calling it the College Ball Show, we're calling it NBA Playoff Banter Podcast because we do a whole lot of bantering in between some preview and predicting. Because we will for sure do that. If, like I said, if this is your first time listening, we usually call it the College Ball Show because we start in late August with college football. We take it all the way to the national title game. Then we switch focus to college basketball. Take that all the way till early April in the national title game. Obviously, basketball fans know that Villanova took that down. That was two Tuesdays ago that we did our last college basketball show. So the College Ball Show is in hiatus until late August. It is now all NBA. We're going to go week by week, just like we do on the other show, take it all the way to the NBA Finals, and then we'll have two shows remaining for the summer. It'll be the NBA Draft and our thoughts on that, and also early July, which, you know, judging off this potential free agent market here, it could be mid-July by the end, by the time they're all done signed, as far as the major pieces anyway. All these players will have seven different places to visit and get wined and dined for a week. So anyway, early July, that'll be our last show. Then we go in hiatus for like 6 to 7 weeks, and we come back with college basketball. But we're all NBA now. You can listen to, of course, the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast under the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. It streams live here on blogtalkradio.com/Rope-A-Dope Radio. It streams live in archives. It's basically like our headquarters. But you can head on over to iTunes, a.k.a. Apple Podcast. You can listen to it at Player FM. That's a great source. Spreaker. I mean, anywhere you like to listen to your pods, there's a good chance the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast and the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast will be available there. We're also available on the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. That's available on everywhere, including iHeartRadio. So if you listen to iHeartRadio, check out the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast. It's football, it's basketball, it's boxing, it's baseball, all sorts of stuff. Go ahead and visit the Grueling Truth .net. That's the gruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. And boy, do we have a whole lot to talk about. Maybe not in this first matchup of the day. There are four of them today, different games. Of course, we will at some point, you know, we'll spend some, you know, more time on other series. We'll probably spend too much time on the Timberwolves and Rockets series, just because I'm going to talk a little bit about my Timberwolves. But I see no way in hell, and I do mean this, that they'll have a chance to win the series, obviously. But we'll break down and predict all eight of the first round series, and of course we'll go from there. So buckle up. We'll be here for about, you know, right around an hour or something like that. You know, we may even start with a little, you know, with a little recap of the season and how we felt about it, yada, yada, yada. Maybe we start to engage in some debate about, well, the Rookie of the Year is a good place to start because, of course, you know, Ben Simmons, is he really a rookie? Is he not, you know, that type of thing? There is a whole lot of debate when it comes to that. So, yeah, we'll just break it on down. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall, right about now. Hopefully Scott can call in. He is, I think he's on the East Coast rather than Arizona right now, so his schedule might be a little backwards. What's going on, Marshall? How you doing? You got to be feeling good about your new MVP candidate. That would be one Gerald Green. I called him Gerald Green. Yeah, something like that. Something like that. What's going on, Marshall?
I'm good, man. I'm watching Gerald Green is growing about 5 inches and put on about 40 pounds. So
I didn't even know you guys picked him up before the playoffs. Man, you guys are crafty. You guys are crafty.
And we signed Quinn Cook, too, so I'm not quite sure how Myers, the GM, is running the books. But, hey, you know, if it works, it works. But I'm good, man. I'm literally at home. I have nothing to worry about for work today, and I have basketball playoffs on one TV and hockey on another. So life's okay. I start off watching a Golden State team that I root for, and then to finish off the night, I get to watch Rip City play New Orleans. I wish DeMarcus Cousins was playing, but I can still settle for a game in Portland to watch that. So I can't complain, man. It's a good day today. Thankfully, I'm not spending the day alone with my parents who live maybe 20 miles from me and are still getting hit with snow. I mean, I've always kind of thought that when I go on my basketball trip during the second week of March that it means it's the end of winter. But to hear there's still, you know, bleeping snow coming down in Minnesota, that is one of the main reasons I moved to Texas and one of the reasons I do not regret my move. Despite issues down here, hearing about snow in April is a reason to thankfully pray that I don't mind living in Texas that much.
Well, that'll be the last time we bring up hockey on the NBA playoff banter podcast. But yes, last night it started. It's funny because Thursday was sunny and pretty, and oh man, this feels like spring. Yeah, just wait a second. It's got to be one of the latest snows we've ever had that actually accumulated as well. Last night, though, I went downtown to the Armory and covered a boxing event down there. And, you know, they still managed 3,500 people there, even with the snowstorm hitting. So that was was a really fun night. It was on FS1, the fight card. It was a really, really good night, man. Had some local fighters on the card and whatnot. But, yeah, it's NBA time. No doubt about it. We are all NBA now. Until, like I said, early July when we do our free agency show. That'll be our last show. And, you know, overall, it was a fun season, very entertaining season. Once again, last year with Westbrook and Harden and just some of these teams and some of these players just really entertaining, even though, and I bring up last year because a lot of us felt like, oh, well, now that Durant's with the Warriors, this shit got, you know, kind of weird. You know, it's kind of like, wow, what are we watching this thing for? Is it really worth it? Then we already know who's going to win the whole championship. So it kind of messes with you a little bit. But the last year, that was really entertaining. I kind of feel like very similar. And it's funny because Harden is now going to be the MVP. And Russ averaged another triple-double. But there was just a plethora of improvements, whether it be in the West, obviously, with Portland and Utah and the Timberwolves and so many. And by the way, like you said, too bad Boogie, you know, is not there for you. But you know what? You got New Orleans wouldn't be in the playoffs, dude, if Boogie was on the court. So, I mean, it's probably best. It's probably best that Boogie's in a suit and tie. Well, probably not a tie, but at least in some nice, you know, clothes that passed the rule for the sideline rule that they put in after our test won in the stands. So, you know, I mean, you got to think of it that way, too, because they weren't even in the playoffs. They were 25-25 with your boy. So there's that. There is that. But the improvements, and not just that, you know, Marshall, when the free agency hit, right, and
yeah.
one dude from Utah went to the East, and then it seemed like everybody else either remained in the West or was added to the West rosters. And you thought, Jesus, you know, like, man, now the West does feel more beefed up again, because remember, it did kind of fall off these last 2 years in the way of how many wins it took to get in. Well, I think that's restored after what we saw down the stretch, to have the 3-10 at times be, you know, 2.5-3 games, and the 3-9 until the last night of the season. The third seed to the ninth seed to be separated by 2, and you get in with 47 wins, that really tells you about the West. But with that said, Marshall, we were all like, well, I mean, the West is rebuilt. That's cool, whatever, yada, yada, yada. That's going to be fun, but the East is screwed. And what do you know? Toronto plays some defense and spreads the ball a little bit more rather than, you know, relying on ISO, although we'll see if, you know, they fall into that. Can they win a game one series at home? That's what I freaking want to know. But also, obviously, Philly. Philadelphia, the way they ended this season, them in Utah, the hottest teams in the entire world. I mean, Philly just closed up shop, and you don't have to trust the process anymore. The process is in play, and I really am intrigued how those young dudes mixed with veterans, as long as they get Embiid back healthy, I'm really intrigued, man, to see how they perform. But the East is better than we thought, Marshall. If you look at, you know, a couple of days after free agency really got rolling, everyone's kind of like, well, there goes the East, and sure enough, man, it's really fun. And Boston found a way to still linger, even though, you know, we obviously know their injuries, you know, to some really, really, really key players. But, you know, we'll see if they can survive the first round. You never know. So I'm really intrigued by a couple of these matchups. Overall, though, what'd you think of the season, sir?
I was happy with it. I do feel that, you know, you hear every year some sport person say that they could probably shave off a couple of games. I mean, I think that's true. You know, they probably never would due to TV and revenue and all that money. But, I mean, you know, there was about 3 weeks ago where I felt, okay, you know, it's time for playoffs to go. And I know you got to get your game set up for seeding and everything, but in a way, that season kind of drags on. You know, it's like, all right, you can tell playoffs are coming, but you still got to get going. But I thought the season was enjoyable. I mean, you can't ask for much more of a better season than the West offered. It was extremely competitive. Teams did not maybe meet their win quotas from Vegas at the start of the year, but that's simply because there weren't many off nights in the West. If you were projected to win 53 games and you won 46, it's because, well, more than half of your games were every night was a fight. So I think that maybe your win-loss records aren't quite as representative of what you want for your team, but it's because your team had to bust their ass every night just to try and get a win. And I think that helps the product of the sport. I think, you know, there's that kind of old cliche that I think has kind of gone away now, but some people who are not NBA fans still say, well, you know, NBA, they don't matter till playoffs. Or if you watch a game and you only have to watch the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, that's all that matters. Well, that's not completely true, because if that was the case, then, you know, then teams would be mailing it in. I mean, if that theory of NBA games only matter the last few minutes of the game, well, you know, that's just stupid. That's a point made by someone that doesn't truly watch the sport. Because if you watch a team like Golden State or Houston or San Antonio, on nights they're on, that the last 3 minutes of the game don't matter because they're up 20. So, overall, I thought it was a good season. I thought that the rookie draft class was respectable. And the East, I'd say, is about as entertaining as possible as it could be, even though they've lost quite a few superstars, because for the first time in a long time, I honestly believe that the 8 seed can beat the 1 seed in the East, and that has not been said for a very long time, in my opinion. So I'm looking forward to
that. On either side.
Huh?
On either side, for that matter, with the one
yeah.
beating the 8 as far as being
yeah.
able to say that. Usually you never be able to say that. Not this year, obviously, on the West, and that's usually not the case because the West usually, you know, has the best team or whatever. But that's a good point. You're looking at 1-8 and you go, huh, you know, if they put it together, they could actually do it. That's a good point.
Yeah, and we'll get to it, but, you know, I think that makes the playoffs a little more intriguing. Whenever we've always done our playoff preview shows like we're doing today, it's normally, let's break down the fun matchups in the West, and then let's pick the teams in the East and be done in about 10 minutes because, oh, well, it's LeBron, and that's it. But the Greek Freak has now established himself in Milwaukee. Washington is a fun team and maybe underachieved this year because they lost their superstar for a third year. And, you know, and Philadelphia, a team that we've not mentioned on this playoff show for the last 4 or 5 years because they've never made it. But the storylines are much more intriguing this year in the East, and I think that'll make a more enjoyable playoff, better ratings, and just an overall more fun show for us to do this year, my friend.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. I mean, it's really intriguing. Like you said, the East, you know, usually be like, all right, so who's got the 4-5 seed? That'll be a good series. That'll be a good series, the 4-5 seed, you know? Like, well, yeah, of course that'll be the good series. That's the 4-5, dude. It should be. It better be. But you're right. The East is usually like, all right, we'll pick three out of them. We'll talk the fourth because it'll probably be close, and odds are it's the fourth or fifth seed. So obviously injuries have played their part, you know, getting here, no doubt about it. Some teams are still waiting for their guys to come back, like Curry, some in Embiid, I guess, too, in a sense, with that left orbitable. But,
well,
you know,
let me ask
Leonard.
You.
Irving, Cousins, a lot of people out. Go ahead.
For a fun question, I always like to grill you at the end of the show. I'm going to grill you at the start of the show. Let's see if you're on your game, Chris. Bigger loss to their team, Embiid or Curry? And I'm a Golden State guy, but I think that's a legit, fair question. Who matters more to their squad for successfulness in the playoffs, Embiid or Curry? What's your take on that?
That is a great question, and I'd probably say Embiid. Because of, without Curry, they're not winning the championship. We all know that. However, they got 3 all-stars. You know what I mean? And they're a pretty good team still. Especially
yeah.
when they're going to be focused and game-planned on one team and all that stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, I would say Embiid for sure because, I mean, he's the – don't get me wrong. You know, their young Ben Simmons, too, is a stud, and he really turned it on and, you know, the last month and a half or something like that. But, you know, they're gonna let him take jump shots, you know. And that's kind of been a debate on podcasts lately in the last couple of days and how, you know, if you stand – you can't be too far off of them because, like many people have said in the industry, then it's just like you're giving him room to drive on you and get a head start. You know what I mean? So you can't be too
yeah.
far off of them for the jumper. because then it's like a runway for him to take off. But you got to stay off him a little bit so you can control his really damn good drive, you know, and his handles are starting to come up. That last game or the second to last game, he was going between the legs and all sorts of shit. So, yeah, man, I would have to say Embiid, though. I would definitely have to say Embiid on that one.
Well, I'm gonna switch it up and say Curry, because Golden State honestly was 7-10 down the stretch.
Because it's 57-46 now in the first little bit here, because they jumped into this game now.
I think the West is a tougher path, but you know, to go, I mean, our defensive numbers to wrap up the year were below average. And
Your defensive numbers this year were below average, actually, too. They weren't good this year.
And they progressively went downwards in the past 17 games. And so, I mean, you can make an argument for both. And, I mean, I think it's a fun question to ask. But I do think we need our leader back. Durant's a phenomenal player. But I still think this offense...
Well, you need them both back. That wasn't the question, you need them both back.
Yeah.
You need them back, I said, to win it. But I'm saying, I mean, they're screwed without Embiid, in my opinion, in the playoffs completely.
Yeah.
Whereas they could get to the conference final. They're not getting to the conference... They may get to the conference final in the East, but I think they'll get to the conference final, Golden State, without them. And then they'd need them to beat Houston.
And honestly, and we'll move on past this, but honestly, I am very thankful for tiebreakers, because I think if Golden State would have started off today playing Oklahoma City without Curry, I'm not sure we would have made it past them. But that's a what if, because it won't happen. But I think without Curry, if we had gone to Oklahoma City, I think I would have been kind of, you know, biting nails this first couple of games, because I think that would have been a very, very interesting series. And thankfully, for whatever reason, Kawhi's not coming, but so we'll see. But moving on, just a fun debate topic. But on the other hand, I hope Embiid plays. That dude is a guy that, for all we know, has all the talents in the world to be a top 10 player in the NBA. He's got a personality to himself. He's a marketable person that on Twitter, and maybe he jokes around too much. Maybe some people are turned off by that, but I think the dude's got personality. He's a fun player. He's a great player. He's maybe a person that the city can build around, and a player that the team can build around. So I hope, for the sake of his injuries, I'm not sure how fast the old bull can heal, but I hope we see him make a playoff appearance, and hopefully it's not too late for a team to get bounced out. But for another young NBA superstar, Chris, I hope people get to watch him play, because when I did see him play on Christmas this year, the guy truly is a game changer. When he's on the court, off the court, his team is completely different. So I hope, for the sake of NBA fans that, you know, maybe not as diehard as you and I, or just a regular Joe, to see him play in the playoffs, I think that would only benefit the sport growing in popularity and showcase the talent the guy's got.
Well, and it's good for his freaking team. You know what I mean? I mean, they need him, because Philly's been such a good story. We would like to see them carry it on and live up to their third seed that they rightfully, got. They definitely did. LeBron still being LeBron, he actually scored the most points in history after 15 seasons or later. So that's just LeBron being LeBron. If you look at, actually, you know, we might as well start real quick. Obviously, you know, we talked about Westbrook averaging another triple-double. He's got now 16 rebounds in 16 career games over the last 20 seasons. All other players, 6'3 and down, have 3 games of 16 boards. Harden, obviously, these back-to-back years has just really taken his game to another level offensively. They've put defense around him, so at times he's a little better. Still too many breeze-bys and stuff like that. You wouldn't confuse him with a defensive player per se, but the guy's all-around game these last 2 years has reached a level I don't think anyone saw. I mean, this guy is just a stud, and to have Chris Paul now and some of their defensive pieces make them highly dangerous. Obviously, though, for both of them, but especially Harden because he's more still in his prime and whatnot. This is a big year for him, and obviously Houston in general. But, you know, the lasting image of him in the playoffs last year was pretty ridiculous. One of the worst effort games I've ever seen. I know he wears down and all that, but got a guy up here in Minnesota back in the day named KG. I remember Tim Duncan playing, Iverson, Kobe, all these dudes playing heavy minutes. I mean, you don't think LeBron carries his team playing heavy minutes? He led the league in minutes this year. So, you know, wearing down is a true thing. I believe that. No doubt about that. I don't think that'll happen this year with Paul now, too, being able to take some of that responsibility of bringing the ball up every single time off of him. But it's a big, big moment for him as far as, you know, because we all know this is when the mainstream, this is what you get remembered by, obviously. Just starting with the Timberwolves, the last time we spoke was two Tuesdays ago, and I just wanted to make the freaking playoffs. You know, I just wanted to make the playoffs, please, and really I wish the Thursday before, because, you know, this last Wednesday was the last game against Denver. Obviously, needed overtime to get the job done. That Jokic freaking just wouldn't go away. Denver, the way they played down the stretch with Murray and company, and like I mentioned, the Joker, these guys are a team to be reckoned with to an extent anyway. They're really fun to watch, man. They have some cap issues per se as far as what they can do to improve, but they're so young, I think they can improve within. But really great game, and it is fun to see that. Like I said, on the last night, on a Wednesday night, last night in the NBA regular season, literally you have from 3 to 9 a two-game freaking – it just blows my mind. But, yeah, 13 years, 13 long years, the drought is over. We were the third longest playoff drought across all sports. So that's gone, thank God. Cleveland Browns are 15 years. And the Seattle Mariners are 16 years in a row with a streak. Also, the Carolina Hurricanes are at 9. So I'll tell you what, man, that place was jumping just because of, you know, the pain that we've endured. If you look at Cat, though, man, Cat really came on the second half of the season. Him and Larry Bird are the only guys in the history to average 20 points, 10 boards, shoot 50% from field goal range, or just overall field goal, I should say, shoot 40% from three and 85% from the line, the stripe. So that's a pretty cool stat, no doubt about it. And, you know, it sucks. It does suck because you're sitting at February 23rd, Marshall, as a Timberwolves fan anyway, and you're in the third spot, dude. You know what I mean? You're in the third spot for like probably 65-70% of the season. You were in the fourth spot, and for probably 10-15%, you were in the third spot. San Antonio and us just kept going back and forth, back and forth. But when Jimmy got hurt February 23rd, we're in the third freaking spot. And those 17 games without him just was rough. Now, it helped our young players have to go, all right, dude, playoffs start today. You know what I mean? Because you look at the standings, you're like, shit, man, this is going to be tough. You know, and you look, it was the second worst stretch of the Wolves, you know, schedule. And you're like, oh, boy, man, after these couple games, it's going to get nasty. And it sure did. It did get nasty. They survived their lumps. They got in, but when you look at, I can't, you know, I'm a homer and all that, but there's no way, Marshall, you can tell me that the Wolves wouldn't be in the third spot if they had Jimmy in those 17 games. There's just no way. Even look at the last couple of games he came back. Game 3 and 2 left, right? That was Saturday and Monday. We kind of had rough starts a little bit, a little four-minute spurt of Jimmy. Got us above, never gave up the lead type of thing. Like, there's no way that third spot wouldn't have been us. I realized Portland had a run, then they kind of faltered. Utah was just on fire, but some of these teams we could have beat if you look at how the games went. But yeah, dude, if you look at it's called the Butler effect, right? So overall, because he missed a couple of games early too. So overall, he actually missed 23 games in total. And of course, he came out of two games too, but 36 and 22 with them, 10 and 30 without him. Offensive rating 113 compared to 107. Without him. Defensive rating 105.4 compared to 112. Steals up, you know, everything. So it really, really hurt us down the stretch. But, you know, in a weird way, it's going to help us in the future. And the Wolves have already been in the playoffs now, in a sense. You know what I mean? Even though the reward, it really feels like the old school when KG would get us into the playoffs and then we'd have just the hardest matchup of the first round. You're like, shit. In fact, I remember, Marshall, we earned the fourth seed 1 year, right? And we're like, yeah, dude, fourth seed. Finally, we got a home court. Oh, you're playing the Lakers. Because why? Because Shaq got hurt. He missed like 40 games that year. So they're the fifth seed. Have fun. He's back now. You're like, oh, sweet. Now they won the championship. You know what I mean? So, I'm used to going into the playoffs knowing you got the toughest matchup. The funny part about that is I remember the Spurs and some other team, but for sure the Spurs, I think we played the Spurs like three times in the first round over a seven-year thing, or at least twice. But the funny thing is KG would will us a game one victory even. You know what I mean? It'd be like, oh, shit. And then, you know, it'd be a five-game series, that type of thing, or maybe six tops. But all in all, you know, if we had Butler and we would have faltered down the stretch and fell, you know, fell down the rankings, and I use fall down the rankings lightly because, like I said, from 3 to 9, it's a two-game stretch. So it's not like we just lost 6 out of 8 and just shit on ourselves. You know what I mean? It just became really hard to beat good teams without Butler. You know, what he brings to our team, it's hard to measure, you know what I mean, in a lot of ways. Some ways pretty easily, like I just broke down some numbers. So Golden State has more of a cushion now, almost halfway, midway point of the third, 71-53. That is the first game. Is there anything that you'd like to talk about randomly before we start, you know what I mean, getting in?
In regards to, like, basketball or life or football or politics or, like, alcohol, or what, is there, like, a certain topic we're trying to... No. All right, well,
do I have to ask the question again? We're not going to talk hockey. That's for you.
Okay. Well, no, hey, my Nationals, we're slumping bad, so I might have to switch back to the Twins.
Well,
all right, no.
Do I got to mute you? Because I will. I'll meet the shit out of you, Marshall.
I'm ready to roll, brother. All right, well, okay, so here's the thing. We're going to start off in the West, and I got you as a close friend, another buddy as a close friend, go to the Wolves game 3. I hope you can maybe find a way to get yourself there too. And then another, my best friend, who's a Wolves fan. You guys all seem to think that, you know, that there's no chance you can beat Houston. Now, I'm not saying that you should expect to be a favorite, but we'll start off in the West, 1-8 seed. I do think that this series goes 6. I think you have a guy like Jimmy Butler.
Really?
Yes. You have a guy like Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns. Now, I get that Houston had a phenomenal year, but I don't see how Towns and Butler cannot win you 2 games out of 6. I'm not saying they're going to win. I'll take Houston in 6. I think that they sadly will win on Houston's court. But I think that Tibbs' rotation come playoff time will not be as big of a factor. I do think that maybe he wore some of his guys out during the regular season, but I know that it seems like Minneapolis people have kind of lost some patience on Wiggins. And maybe, Chris, maybe it's because I don't follow the team as closely as I do Golden State, which is true. You know, I'm a sports guy, but the Wolves are not my number one priority. But I honestly just think that you guys find a way to win two games. And I know that two games doesn't win you a series, but I think that Butler
That'd
and Wiggins
be like
are
winning a freaking series here, though, dude. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think when you come home for game three, I think that you guys honestly are the favorite. I know that when you played Houston this year, it was they had 3 18-point wins and a 9-point win. But, I mean, that Target Center is going to be going insane. And you can't tell me on a given night if Wiggins, Towns, and Butler are on that Harden and Chris Paul, and I don't know who their third player truly is that much better than you. So maybe it's because I'm looking at it from a different perspective. Now, obviously, you and my friends on the Wolves better than me, but honestly, I think you guys win two games because I think Butler can win you a game. I think there's a night where Houston does not hit their threes, and I think this series is a more competitive series than others. Now, I'm not going to be crazy enough to say that you all win this series. I mean, if that happened, that'd be awesome, but I'm taking Houston in six. Wolves win game three. They win somewhere else in between, and I just think that Towns and Butler can emerge, especially Towns, because Butler has proven himself in the playoffs, I would say, respectively. I think Towns and Butler can win you a series, and all you have to do is catch Houston on a night off where they don't hit their threes. So I'm saying Houston in six, and I think it's a respectable series, and I think Butler and Towns, and if Wiggins can get hot, I think it'd be a fun match. Because who would you say is Houston's third best when you go Harden, Paul, and then who?
Yeah, it's probably like four guys. Yeah, you're right. It's true. It is true.
Now, I would say that Minnesota people say, well, Wiggins hasn't proved it this year. Is he truly our number three? When he is hot, he's incredible. But, again, he seems to have his on-and-off days. So I give my take, Houston in six. I expect competitiveness. What is your take on your boys against the Houston Rockets, number one record NBA?
Well, let's just shut down the podcast because six games, that's a winning series. That's a moral win right there, baby. I'll take that to the bank and then some. Let's just shut it down. I like that. No, I to get to six, in my opinion, I think we'd have to win one of the first two.
Okay.
One of the first two to get to six. I think it'll be a five-game series wrapped up in Houston. I do think, though, that one of those two home games, because, you know, like you said, Target Center it will be apeshit. It's been 13 years since they've had a home court, and you could just tell, even a couple years back when we brought KG back, those first couple of games with them at the end of the year, the place was jumping. This year we had a bunch of sellouts, and, you know, down the stretch the place was jumping. I mean, that it felt like a game seven. On Wednesday night, it really did. You know, it is tough to say that because of the way the Rockets would slap us around. One of the games, they were slapping us around in the first half, and then we actually cut into the lead and got it down to like five or six with like a handful of minutes to go and couldn't finish it off. There was another game, I think the first game of the season we played them, where midway through the third, Marshall, we were right with them. It was like, here we are. Who are you? We're right with you, dude. No problem. And then all of a sudden, boom, they go. And another thing is, one of those games, they hit like 12 fucking threes in the fourth quarter, Marshall. Or at least 10. I think 10 of them. It's like, you're not beating anybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. If they hit 10 threes, you're not winning that fourth quarter. Or you're not winning the game. Unless you're like 18 or something, you know? And so some of it was that, too, where you're just like, oh, dude. And I also think that when you this is kind of backtracking a little bit, but you brought up a good point of how you said, you know, you only got to watch the last couple minutes or the season's long and whatever. But that three-pointers, as much as it does irk me, I'm not going to say as a purist, because some purists didn't like, you know, Boston and Detroit basketball in the 80s and 90s. A lot of purists didn't like that either. So I'm not a purist, but I'm a throwback, I guess you could say, to an extent. And, you know, the three ball in general, you're almost in every game now in the NBA because of the three ball. It just and obviously it's funny, Marshall, because the Timberwolves hit their most threes in franchise history, and we're still like 26 in the league in threes. You know what I mean? It's just like, what the hell is going on? We're putting them up. Wiggins and Towns have over 100 threes every year. You know, like we're putting those things up, but they're just not going in at as high a racial, and it just, oh man, it's kind of crazy that way. And that's what I kind of feel like they just, you know, you can either cut into a lead or get a little cushion, and that cushion's gone. And that's what I kind of feel like this series is going to be. Now, Thibodeau, a lot of people want to run Thibodeau out of town. And
yeah,
the playoffs,
I've heard that,
where you're a coach. And, you know, that's where your coaching really plays off, when you can really game plan on a certain team and you know, play them over and over and over again. That's where it really comes out as a coach. And also, once they catch up to you, okay, now what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Because, you know, if it's a longer series, they catch up to you and what you're trying to do and whatnot. So you got to keep it moving. And some teams know each other just in general so much that they're already caught up, and it's just a grind. And sometimes coaching or one player is the difference in the series. But, you know, offensively, we do need to get Wiggins the ball earlier and Towns the ball later. Both Wiggins and Towns the last 2 years have been clutch players down the stretch in games. It's all right there. Wiggins is actually pretty clutch in the fourth quarter if he could get the ball. So I do think the ball inside the Towns, because lately he hasn't been, although his percentage is really high from three, he's our best three-point shooter, which is no surprise per se. Maybe Crawford should be a little higher, but we need to get the ball down low. And they are a little thin down low. That's something I will say. And I gotta say, as funky as it was, I actually wanted to take on Golden State without Curry rather than Houston, just because of how the games played out this year. You know, sometimes that can get in your head, Marshall, where you're like, dude, they beat us by 18 like three times. You know what I mean? Like, oh man, we're getting our ass kicked by them. We can't beat this team. Whereas at least we have a shot to maybe get, you know, six games or something like that. I don't think we'd beat either top two teams, but I do think we could beat any team beyond the top two. And I don't care who it is. I may be a homer, call me whatever you want, but without Butler for 17 games, like I said, that's our third spot in my mind. I really think that, because a two-game difference, you're telling me Jimmy couldn't win us three more games in that stretch and lock that down, especially the head-to-head games? When it really counted, when we were right there and just couldn't get over the finish line. So we are probably one of the better eighth seeds in the last 20 years. You know what I mean? If you look at talent and all that. So that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I got five. I got five.
Okay.
We went really long on that. So let's tighten that up. I just realized how long we went on the opening series. But
well,
I knew we'd go. Let's tighten this up. I'm going Golden State Warriors, by the way, against San Antonio. How's that? We'll tighten that up.
I'd hope, sir. I'd try to find a way to mute you. Now, I will
yeah,
say, I'm not sure how I'm allowed to mute you, but I sure as hell try. I think Golden State wins the series. I do think save some time. I do think that if Kawhi was in it, it would be more interesting. But for whatever reason, that's a whole different show. He's not probably going to play. I like Golden State to win the series. I think the Spurs might win a game at home because it's Popovich. I mean, the dude's crafty. I mean, there's no reason Aldridge and Ginobili and Parker can't win a game. But I'll take Golden State in five. Hopefully the bodies stay healthy. Hopefully they – well, I guess it truly doesn't matter if they win it fast or take it longer because Curry's injury status is going to kind of just go no matter on the days or whatever. So
sure.
I think Golden State in five, and I feel confident with that series. I just think that without Kawhi, you're asking the Spurs to do too much. Now, I'll give them credit. I thought the Spurs had a hell of a year for a team literally
Definitely.
Led by Aldridge. Yeah, and that's a compliment.
Aldridge had a bounce-back year, too, majorly.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah. That dude took so much criticism from when he first arrived. And this year, I think kind of science's critics proved his money worth. But they don't script their draft picks. I mean, Danny Green and Tony Hill, he's always done well. Patty Mills has done well. Ginobili and Parker, those guys still do well. So props to San Antonio. I know they're hoping to get Kawhi back. That's the only thing that's going to happen. So I'll take Golden State in five. I wouldn't mind four, but I'm not going to agree with my picks. I'll take Delta in five.
Yeah, I'm sure they wouldn't mind Leonard back. I'm sure they wouldn't mind Leonard back in general. You know what I mean? Not this series, but just back in San Antonio in general. We're going to be continued. Let's put it that way. Yeah, I'm with you. I think five is a good look. I think Pop and company can steal one at home. You know, knowing them, maybe they'll steal game two. Who the frick knows? But I do think they'll steal a game. But I'm with you on the five game. Definitely. I'm definitely there
now,
with you.
To my second and third favorite teams in the West, Rip City. Hosting New Orleans now. Why I say I think they New Orleans missed Boogie, and this isn't a fact-check stat, but honestly, for all the years I've watched Golden State and DeMarcus Cousins, or I should say, for all the years I've watched Portland and DeMarcus Cousins play, I can't prove these numbers perfectly, but in my head, that dude has always gone off in Portland. So I think if you're a Portland fan, you are very happy if Boogie Cousins is injured because that dude just owns you all forever, and they've never really had a guy to match them. But he's gone. And now you have Anthony Davis against a team, Chris, who, in my opinion—
Who's a better player.
Agreed. Yes, agreed. But they're missing their second-best player. But, yes, in my opinion, they're playing a team that maybe exceeded expectations more than anyone in the NBA this year. You could maybe argue Philly, but you almost kind of had to see it coming in a way. Because Portland was a team that's okay. You've heard people say for years upon years, all the NBA writers and critics, Portland will never be great with Lillard and McCollum in the backfield. They're not great enough defenders. They're too short, blah, blah, blah. This is a team that, after the All-Star game, won 13 games in a row. This is a team who, thankfully, as you mentioned, due to Jimmy Butler's injury, had the three seed locked up for about the past month of the season. So
they almost gave it away because Utah, but yeah, they locked it.
Yes, you're right. It did get very close to the end. It actually came down the last game of the year. But this is a team who, I mean, if you ask the regular NBA fan, Chris, name someone on Portland besides Damian Lillard and T.J. McCollum, you're probably going to win a bar bet because not many people know about, you know, Evan Turner or, you know, Aminu, or whoever you want to name. But
they'll probably name guys that were there a couple of years ago and not realize they're not there.
Yeah, you're going to name Aldridge or Wesley Matthews or, you know, someone like that. But it's like, no, dude, they've put together a team who last year was pretty bad, and this year's trying to be pretty good, and I give that team a lot of credit. Now, am I completely surprised, Chris? No, because – in my opinion, their coach is a top five, top six coach in basketball. I put him just a little bit behind the Carlisle and obviously Popovich pedigree. But I think Stotts is a phenomenal coach. That dude gets all he can out of his talent. I think they have one of the better
home courts. You've been saying that for a while, too. You've been steady with that.
Yeah, and I've said that for the past 3 years. So it's not. If you're new to the show, I'm not making that up. My co-host can vouch for me. The dude's a great coach. So I'm looking forward to them hopefully advancing to the second round. And if New Orleans can top them, well, it's going to take basically a massive double-double every game from Anthony Davis. You're going to need Jrue Holiday to step this game up, Rondo to be perfect on assists,
And my favorite seventh man in the league, Darius Miller, to probably hit about 4 to 5 threes a game. I think that it should be a fun, entertaining series. I think these are two up-tempo teams, Chris. Neither is strong in defense, because I bet Portland's defensive numbers are better than people assume. But I think this will be a fun series. I think you have two great home courts. I think New Orleans will enjoy the home court because they've, not always been the most successful program since they've been there. But I'm going to take Portland winning in six. I'll go with the number six again. I think that Portland wraps up on the road, but I think that with the tandem of McCollum and Lillard and the head coaching, I think it's too much for New Orleans to handle, because I don't think Anthony Davis can kind of go along with a little bit of help and carry his team to a complete series win. But if he does, that'd be a tremendous compliment. But I'll take Rip City in six, in which, in my opinion, will be a very fun series to watch with two great home courts and a lot of great players. So I'm excited for that one. But it maybe isn't the biggest marketable watch across the country, but it's one I'll be looking forward to seeing myself.
Yeah, this is a great series. And since your boy Boogie boogied his ass out of this year, okay, that was mean. Since DeMarcus Cousins, a.k.a. Boogie, unfortunately went down with an injury on January 28th, the brow is taken over. 30 points, first in the league. Field goal attempts, he's up to 22, first in the league. Third in the league in usage. Rebounds, sixth in the league. Blocks, first. Steals, third. This guy has done it all. And I got to say, sitting at 25-25 in the 10th spot with the Boogie, and, honestly, I've heard this on a couple of podcasts, and I agree with it. Although he is clearly your second best player, and the guy puts up numbers, in the last couple of years, the assist numbers have come up with Boogie, no doubt about it. Can't deny that part. But as a whole, when he's on the court, it is what it is. I think this team, the way it's built, it puts Davis at center straight up, and the other parts around him fit in better. So that makes them a little better, only in that little way. Them in Utah, very hot team. Portland was hot, like you said, 13 in a row, but then they did stumble some. This is a great series, and I'm going out on the limb a little bit. I'm going to go game seven, somehow, some way, even though Portland's probably top four environment, maybe even top two. I'm going with the Pelicans. Fly like a pelican, like Tony Montana would say. A pelican, yeah. So I'm going with the Pelicans. I'm going with New Orleans as a sixth seed to pull the upset. Game seven, that'll be, I'm looking at it right now, April 28th on a Saturday. Seriously? Wow, that's coming up. Anyway, I'm going a little bit out on the limb on that one. Let's move to Oklahoma City versus Utah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and honestly, Chris, that we've named three or four all-star players in Lillard, McCollum, and Davis, and I guess that's it. But there are a lot of unproven pieces. So, as much as I like my pick of Portland 6, I wouldn't be crazy enough to say that, your pick will be wrong either, because besides Davis, McCollum, and Lillard, there's a lot of guys that could be massive X factors. There's so many people on New Orleans that have had phenomenal years and been in the kind of the shadows of Davis, or Portland players who have truly made the team become great because besides Lillard, McCollum, those guys don't play forward. So it can maybe be a breaking out series to make some other people more available to the media to access and could provide a game seven. So, yeah, I just want to add that in. I bet some other people might step up and become a little more prominent. Yeah. Now,
That may be what does, you know, wins the series, is who brings the X factors, you know, that likely will be.
Yeah, because you know Davis is going to give you about 30-20 or damn near close. That guy's that good. And if you can shut down McCollum and Lillard, props to you. Much easier said than done. I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, we'll be curious to see the X factor, and we'll be able to break that down for our next show about, okay, who's trying to step up on those teams? Now, I got a feeling you're going to give a much more professional breakdown than this, but my one point for the last series in the Western Conference in the West, the Jazz in Utah, the Utah Jazz against Oklahoma City, is can you find a way to space the court effectively for Paul George, Westbrook, and Carmelo? Or will Carmelo accept a role of kind of being the guy that looks for his opportunities to help and lets George and Westbrook kind of take over? Because during the regular season, Carmelo kind of faded away. And not that the guy's bad, the dude can still get his buckets, but he is not prime Carmelo from 5 years ago. So will they be able to let a team be, you know, based off the top two stars? Or is Carmelo going to kind of demand the ball? And I'll be very curious to see how the team chemistry develops. And meanwhile, you truly can't forget about Steven Adams, because for the past couple of years when they've been in the playoffs, that dude almost helped them beat Golden State. That dude come playoff time almost always puts in his full effort. So I guess my two points is what kind of person is Carmelo going to be? And do not forget about Adams, because that guy's a beast come playoff time, and you don't want to not feed him, because he can literally be a person who can change the series for you. He maybe won't put the stats up that Westbrook and Paul George does, but he's worth having on the court that can still be a massive X factor, Chris.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's a good call. And they've been real streaky this year. You know, they'll run off 9 in a row, and you're like, okay, this is what we're talking about. They started out as a good defensive team, solid defensive team. Then they kind of faltered a little bit. Then it's like sometimes it's tough. If a team doesn't score a lot of points, it's tough to see if they're a good defensive team because their scoring is down, you know, as well. If they walk up the ball and all that. Just like when a team scores a ton of points, sometimes it's hard to tell if they're – you can't just look at their point total – on defense, because if you're getting more possessions, you got more chances to score on them too. So you're like, man, it doesn't seem like that team's that bad defensively, but when you're scoring 112 points a game, guess what? You know, the other team's going to get some possessions, especially like Houston or something, or Golden State, or even Toronto, where they just, in Cleveland, right? Where they just throw a bunch of, you know, early in the shot clock, they're putting up threes. If it's open, they're shooting them. And yeah, you make a good point. And, you know, Melo's like, this is one of his worst, you know, career years when it comes to outside shooting and whatnot. And it's a part they probably didn't need to – well, they didn't need to add him. They could have added two players for what he really brings overall. But, yeah, it'll be something to definitely something to keep an eye on. That's for sure. Another thing to keep an eye on in this series. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, is it possible, Chris, that in regards to, like, the media covering the series and just the country itself, that we've all kind of grown to pay attention to Oklahoma City with Westbrook and Carmelo and George and KD leaving and the run they've had? And Utah is kind of like a team that no one really pays attention to. It's like, oh, it's Salt Lake City, like, you know, it's the Utah Jazz, like, whatever. But before you, like, capitalize whatever, this is a team that down the stretch went, I believe, 27-6. I mean, I don't know how many teams have ever had a 10-game losing streak in a regular season. And then capped off here going 27-6. So maybe people in the media are picking the Oklahoma City just because, oh, it's Oklahoma City, like, it's kind of a cool name. It's like, dude,
in the home court, too, you know, the home court helps.
Yeah.
They have more playoff experience in the last handful of years, but Utah did make a nice run, you know, recently, so.
Yeah, and I just think maybe it's through the name, and they're not as big marketable city, and don't have the true star player. But dude, if you go 27-6 down the stretch, that's not a team I'd mind picking, Chris. I mean, that's not shabby at all.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, a thing I'm interested in is Ricky Rubio in the playoffs this year.
Yeah,
his highest clip was basically 33% with the Wolves from three. That was his highest shooting career number percentage wise ever. This year he's shooting 35%. Still not great, but man, a big improvement. Because usually it was more like 25% and 30%. If you look back, but I think it was 32 or 33 was the highest he ever did. He's shooting almost 42% overall, which is an improvement because usually right around 38 to 40. And we talked about, you know, being able to, well, when Ben Simmons, and here's the difference, Marshall, Ben Simmons, you know, you got to let him take that jumper, but you can't go too far off of him. Well, because he can drive and he can finish, whereas Rubio can drive, but he can't necessarily finish as well as he can get off the dribble, you know, or as well as a guy that doesn't have a great jumper you think should be able to. That's always been the problem with him. It's like, dude, if you don't have a jumper, if you don't have a three-point shot, that means you're ruthless when you go to the rim, right? I mean, that's what it's supposed to mean, usually. Stereotypically, that's what exactly what it is. Now, obviously, the Euros don't necessarily always go to the rim as hard as us Americans, per se. They generally are more fundamental from the outside, make the smarter pass or whatever, that type of thing. But I'm looking forward to see him in his first playoff series with this mix. It's kind of crazy. You know, he averaged a couple more points, two more points than he has. He's up to 13 points a game. He only played 30 minutes, so they kept him fresh, that's for sure. His assists were really far down. It's kind of weird. Five assists. I mean, Jeff Teague averaged 7 assists. It's kind of weird to see that number go down. Out of all the numbers go down, that one kind of threw me for a loop. But I am interested to see just how much Ricky helps or hurts or whatever. You know what I mean? He's going to have to finish at the rack. Speaking of finishing at the rack, Westbrook, I think he's a decent finisher. He's still got to work on it a little bit, right, Marshall? Still kind of coming into his own as a driver, but, you know, I think he can finish pretty well at the rim. What do you think, Westbrook? The only thing is, there's a guy named Rudy Gobert who, beyond Wiggins.
For a 5'5 dude, he has a good wingspan.
Yeah. I mean, beyond Wiggins, for some reason, Wiggins, every time he plays him, he tries to dunk on him. But other than that, this guy, if he didn't miss that time, the defensive player, a lot of the struggles that Utah had early were just they didn't have their players. You know what I mean? They didn't have their players. So maybe Rubio minorly going down helped to bring up the Rook, you know, and Donovan Mitchell. Maybe they said, here, dude, take the ball. Because they didn't have any, they had to do it. And then Rubio, it's not like he missed a bunch of games or anything like that. So, to when they got Gobert back, though, that was huge. And like you said, what was it, 27-6 or whatever? I mean, they play the best defense in the entire NBA. They, you know, obviously a chunk. You know, Mitchell and Rubio don't have playoff experience. So we're going to find out. That's the only thing that's kind of making me go, oh, man, I don't know. But I am picking Utah in 7 to get the job done at that crazy-ass place in Oklahoma City on the road to get the job done. I thought they were going to get the 4th spot, to be honest with you.
I truly think the X factor is my man from Iowa State. George's Niang, he's averaged 3.6 minutes a year, Chris. And you know, if he can get on the court and splashed a couple of buckets. I don't think that's an OKC scouting report. But
nice.
On a serious note, I do think Utah wins. I think that for a team that Chris has been on a roughly 27-6 run or something very similar to that to finish off the year, that basically means you've been playing about an 800 clip for the second half of the season. I think they've simply developed more team chemistry and a better defense than Oklahoma City has. Because I remember watching for a good chunk of games around the middle to second half of the year, Chris, where Oklahoma City was leading the way in the NBA for blowing fourth quarter leads or not utilizing their time in crunch time. And I think that's because you had too many hands trying to reach in the cookie jar. And maybe, and maybe you want to be a complete Westbrook team, but there's times where that guy literally does shoot himself out of game because he never knows when to stop. So I think as you've been trying to mesh together so many different pieces, and maybe find your starting out, maybe you have not up Oklahoma City, I think that Utah is a much more consistent team. They're not going to give up easy buckets. And I just like the product they've put on the court more. So, and not to mention you got arguably the rookie of the year. Again, it depends on what you mentioned throughout the show. But I will take Utah, and I will stick with six again. I will take Utah winning on their home court in Game 6. And I just think a more reliable, dependable team is one I feel more confident in picking. Now, if Westbrook goes off, Rubio and Mitchell have their hands full, but I like Utah Jazz to win the series to wrap up our West predictions.
Paul George faded down the stretch. He needs to find his shot again, big time.
Yeah, because you mentioned Carmelo, and I mentioned Carmelo. He's not quite the same, and he's not quite the prominent role player that he hasn't quite fit the role he's used to of a guy that can score 26 a game and have his isolation fadeaway jumpers, which for a while he was one of the best at doing. That's drifted away. And you have Westbrook, who clearly can put up his every night. And Steven Adams, again, if Adams can do his job, I mean, that dude is one of the better players.
He's a handful.
Truly, yes. He maybe does not get the recognition he truly deserves.
He was so
bad. And come playoff time, if you're new to NBA or not quite a Western Conference guy, dude, watch him play. That dude puts up a fight every night. He's smart. He doesn't ever seem to foul out of the game. He gets rebounds. He gets in people's heads. He does his job week in, week out. So he's kind of the one guy in the Thunder I truly enjoy watching because he plays the game the right way, and he's just fun to watch. But that does wrap up our Western Conference predictions. Now on to the East, which for once – probably will not be a five-minute segment. Now, and I kind of teased it to start off the show, I honestly think, because we start off 1-8 in the West, we're going to do it again for the East. I'm going to go on a limb, and I'm going to take Washington in 7 against Toronto. Now, I know that Toronto has the 1 seed. It's the best regular season record they've had in quite a while. They for once have the home court dominance, but the knock on them is they've always been so nervous at home, Chris. They feel too much pressure. They have the anxiety.
Standing outside, it gets them nervous.
And realistically, there's probably a little bit of truth to that. This is a country that when it comes to hockey, they're absolutely insane. And I think that is a compliment to Toronto Raptors basketball that the city is like, oh, dude, we have a basketball team that's good. Let's love them like these Maple Leafs. I mean, when you watch their game, there's about 5,000 people crowding downtown city watching the game on like 2 or 3 jumbotrons with cows going absolutely nuts. You probably maybe hear them inside the arena. And that's always been the thing you hear from the media is, oh, we felt too much pressure. We kind of had to cave in. So to compliment them, they finally get the best record. Cleveland does not have the 1 seed. It's not Boston. It's you guys. And then you got to play a team who maybe they did not have the best regular season, but they have John Wall and Bradley Beal with an experienced coach. And
hey, they got a bench
that,
this year finally. Now their starters can't figure it out, but they got a bench, something we've been talking about for quite a while.
Yeah, because last year the knock on them was their bench was gone. And I remember on our podcast, I might have, hey, the Wizards first quarter. I remember telling you that because second quarter, once they take out Wall and Beal for about a six-minute stretch, the floodgates open. And they did. And they opened like a Red River flood. It was massive. It was like the Atlantic Ocean was taken over. But this year, they've actually strained that out. So it's almost like, hey, Toronto, we're proud of you. But, hey, here comes a team with one of the best point guards in the NBA, one of the best shooting guards in the NBA, an experienced coach on the bench that is actually respectable the first time in a while. So I'm sure – I wouldn't say I'm sure. I know that Toronto has Vegas favored. So let me start over. I know that Vegas has Toronto favored to win the series, Chris, but I would not be surprised if Washington's going to win this. They're going to be ready to play. They have their playoff experience just as much as Toronto. And I'm taking the Wizards in seven, being led by Beal and Wall, a little bit of pressure. And if Washington can steal one of the first two games, you go home to D.C., then all of a sudden that Toronto pressure creeps back in. I'll take the Wizards in seven, man. What about you?
I'm going Toronto in six for a couple reasons. One, they're finally going to win their first game one in the playoffs at home. They're finally going to do it.
That would be so big.
Two, standing outside, then Washington has inside on a regular game season. Okay. Three, everybody hates John Wall. What's that? Everybody hates Chris? Everybody hates John Wall. They don't like him. They don't like him. And
not me.
I don't know what it is. They're not cohesive. They're not cohesive right now. Although I think it's a strategical pick by you. I respect it. I could see it happening. But yeah, I'm gonna go Raptors in six because you know they couldn't win it at home. They gotta win it on the road where they feel a lot more comfortable. So that's what I'm going with. Philly and Miami. Now, as much buzz as Philly has filled up the NBA with the last month and a half or whatever, Miami's a pretty good club. That could cause some problems as well. They got some guys that can go off scoring-wise. They do have a center in Whiteside who likes to mix it up. And they got D-Wade back. So they're going to win. Now, obviously, Embiid needs to come back. I think it could be an interesting series, but I'm going Philly to win this series. I'll let you talk about it a little bit. I'll think about what game. I haven't thought about that part.
All right. You know, I think that I was actually talking to a buddy about this work yesterday, and I actually think Miami wins. I just think that you have a Philadelphia team that's clearly probably more talented, but you have a coach in Spoelstra who's been there, done that. I remember when I was doing a show with you about 4 or 5 years ago, I was ripping him. And I didn't think the guy knew how to close out games. Actually, this is probably 7, 8 years ago. So this is when we were, first started. But I was skeptical on Spoelstra. But this is a guy that, has proved himself. He's a veteran coach. I think the pressure is going to get to Philly, Chris. And without Embiid, they're a different team. I mean, their record of, I just think the confidence they have with him on the court and him not on the court are different. Now, I know that, I don't know off the top of my head their record with him and without him, but I do know that with him out on the court, with him not on the court, that they're a different squad. I mean, he's their go-to best player. With him off, you have people and you can play ball, but I don't know if that experience is going to be enough. Now, he's not been ruled out officially like Curry has for the first round and maybe even the second, which is very scary for Golden State. But I'm taking Miami. I'm taking Miami to win in seven. I think you have more veteran players, a more veteran coach, more playoff experience. I think the site catches up to Philly, just the whole playoff persona. I think they have a great run, but I think they also fall short because I don't think Embiid's going to be able to come back. Or if he does come back, it'll be too late. So I'm definitely going to go against the media here because I know a lot of media people are picking Philly, and they're the trendy pick, and let's see what they can do against LeBron. But unless Embiid comes back, I don't think he even make it to facing LeBron. So I'm taking Heat in seven based off Spoelstra being a veteran coach, send his guys up to succeed, and Philly being nervous for the playoffs. That's my pick, Heat in seven.
He's been cleared to play, Embiid.
Okay. Okay, but he's for sure out the first game. I believe I did see that, right? I could have sworn.
Yeah,
yeah,
the
first,
yeah, the game one for
okay.
sure. Yeah, 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 game
okay,
one. Yeah,
okay. Fair enough.
So yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, that's tough. He's been out since March 28th. I'll say this, Markelle Fultz, man, he had a triple-double the other day. Good for him. Good for him. Good for Fultz, man. You know what I mean? Like, that dude has had the strangest rookie season, Fultz has.
Yeah.
And it was good to see him produce, actually, off the bench. So good for him. He had, like, one of those triple-doubles that was just really impressive in the time frame and Minnow, pretty good. They're coming in 16 in a row. Did they already shoot their load? Is that what you're saying? Everybody's just kind of believing, and they've already released their load. They've already dropped it off, and now they can't recoup and go a second round. Or you just are afraid of Embiid, and we don't know. And the way he comes back from injuries, even though it's a different type of injury, it's still kind of weird. His body seems to take a long time to recoup. I mean, most guys off a concussion and off of what he got in his face would probably be, what did I say, 23rd? They'd probably be back by now, I got to admit.
Yeah, I honestly, Chris, I think this Spoelstra wins in one game. And I'm nothing against Brett Brown. That dude has been there through a bunch of lows. Now he's enjoying the highs. But I think Spoelstra wins you a game. And I think with Embiid out, they're such a different team. And I just think the experience of Whiteside and Dragic and the team they put together in the Heat this year, this is honestly my craziest pick of our show. I know I've gotten a little bit off the top with some of my predictions. I mean, Wolves and six is a little bit dangerous and stuff like that, and saying Jazz and six and all stuff. But I would say this is probably my gutsiest pick. But
I don't think of course, I picked him too, but I don't think that's a stretch at all. I think this is kind of a stretch, but you do make good points.
Especially
if Embiid doesn't come back, they're not going to win. I already kind of proved that early, saying that, you know, what I thought about, you know, Curry and him. So, yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, if Miami can win game one without Embiid, and you just have to win, you know, then you go back to home court feeling good. Just there's so much veteran experience, and not that, you know, Philly's doesn't have those people, but it's just a different persona. And you hear so many times in sports, we'll get, you know, the home court, we were so nervous. I don't know. I just, my guts tell me to go Miami, and I guess
you got to trust the process, Marshall. I'm just kidding. I'm going Cleveland over Indiana. Do you have an upset pick there?
My craziness is stopped there. I'm liking LeBron. I'll say this, Chris. Last year, I thought Indiana would put up a good fight against Cleveland, and they did. And they played actually three out of four games were damn close, but they didn't win any of them. So this is a worse Indiana team. So I'm gonna go Cleveland to four. This is my first sweep pick out of our seven series choices. This is my first one that I have a sweep. I'm taking LeBron in four.
Wow. You know, I just don't think they're good enough defensively to do that. I think it'll be five. But Victor Oladipo, man, this freaking guy, comeback player of the year. And when we saw him I remember in Indiana, we had a mixed feeling on him. But, and I'm talking about, you know, the Hoosiers. And
yeah.
But there was just certain parts to his game where he was so explosive. He could defend very well, and he put it all together. Put it all together, man. And He does have a sore foot. And as we know, if you're a wide receiver or a cornerback in football or in basketball in general, especially if you're big, but it just in general, we all know that's a weird thing. Plus, you got to remember Lance Stevenson, okay? So you know he's going to blow in his ear in one game, the old blow in the ear trick. You know, Lance can only play in Indiana. It's the only place he can play good. Because he's playing good again this year, so that the tickle of the ear will win them a game. Now, our last but not least, Boston Celtics, or a team we thought were the Boston Celtics. They're kind of the G League Boston Celtics at this point. The Milwaukee Bucks, 2-7. I so badly want to pick the Bucks based off talent. But coaching scares me a little bit considering who they're going up against. And it just seems like a mess of what they're doing. They got to let the freak just play center and just figure it out with what their parts are. I heard that this week on a couple of podcasts. I agree with it. Screw it. I'm going the Bucks in 7.
I'm copying you, man. I think that obviously Stevens is.
I got every series going to 7, basically. I just realized that. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm taking.
It's gonna be a hell of a playoff, according to Chris.
Every game goes to game
7.
we're gonna have a very fun show here in about 10 days. I'm taking Milwaukee with Giannis. That dude's so good. You know, if they can actually finally find the pieces around him. You know, about 2-3 years ago, Chris, it was like when I watched the Bucks play, they were the one teams that beat Golden State on their run for trying to keep their magical record. They've always played us tight because when I watched the Bucks play the Warriors, I was like, dude, this might be the most athletic team in the NBA. Maybe not the most talented team, but from pure athleticism, this team has about anything you can ask for. Long, lanky players, guys are quick and athletic.
Yeah.
It's just... It's like they've always had a mesh of super crazy talent, but they've never quite fit it together properly. And maybe this is the plan, should they finally piece it together, or maybe not, you know, but I'm with you. I think, obviously, it's kind of a shame for an Eastern Conference basketball fan. If Kyrie and Hayward were healthy, I do think that we would have a hell of an Eastern Conference Finals from Boston, even, but that's not the case. So... I'm taking Milwaukee in 7. I do think they'll find a way to pull this off. I think Boston, you know, they kind of had a big lull in the middle of the season. They were able to kind of stay up top with their record that they kind of built in. But yeah, I'll go with you, bro. I think this is the first pick we're actually copying, I believe. I'll take Bucks in 7.
Well, we both picked Utah too.
Oh, okay. Did we take? Did we take both 7 there?
I don't remember what I picked.
Okay.
I think it was 7. Or did I say 6? I don't know.
I said
7 too. I did say 7. Yeah. You're right.
Oh, okay. Okay. So well, we might be copying again, but I'm like Milwaukee. And honestly, I hope that's the case because I think the Greek Freak is a fun player to watch. You know, just like I mentioned, there's so many people who you might not maybe realize that ESPN doesn't cover. But come playoff time, the regular NBA fan will get to witness more time of watching said player play. And if you're an NBA fan that does not know who the Greek Freak is, you know, you clearly should. I mean, you're kind of sleeping a little bit. But the dude is a special player to watch. And I think that hopefully they can find some stuff and piece it together. And I just think Boston will have lost too much key talent, and I think that Milwaukee will find a way to get it done. But I will say, man, for all the years we've done this show, this is the most entertaining series of first-round games. Because normally there's so many games where like, oh, dude, Atlanta in 5 or Toronto or whoever we name, it's like boom, boom, boom. And we're done covering the series in like a minute. And that didn't happen today. So I think truly for an NBA fan, this playoff series should be great. Now, obviously, there could be a 4-0 sweep. There could be some 4-1s. But on paper, I don't think there will be that many. I mean, the polarizing team, Oklahoma City. You're playing a Jazz team that's pretty much been playing and winning games at 800% clip. You know, that's phenomenal. And Portland, New Orleans, I mean, that's a fun series. I doubt either team should win the NBA Finals, but for a first-round matchup, that's a pretty damn good matchup. Now, obviously, if Kawhi does come back, that series gets more interesting. I think, for some reason, I think that Jimmy Butler and Carl Anthony Towns make the Houston series interesting. I just think that we're actually going to get an entertaining series of playoffs for the first round, which normally we don't. And Philadelphia, that place is going to be a zoo, and you're playing against a veteran team. So I just like that we have so many different little plot angles to break down, Chris, we normally don't for a first round. And that'll make for more entertaining playoffs. It should lead to better ratings and not have the first round be such kind of a walkthrough, which you hear a lot in the NBA. It's like, oh, it's the first round. Who gives a crap? Like, let's just wait till the second round comes around. Then we'll start getting into it. I don't think you can take that approach mentally if you're a fan, because I think we're going to be gifted with a lot of fun games to watch over the next couple of weeks.
All right. Well, that about wraps up the first edition of the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast. We predicted all five playoff matchups. We will be back, not on a specific day, but we kind of do it when it comes to the playoffs in the first round anyway. We kind of just wait and see, like in our schedules, or if something's popping off or someone's up 2-1 and you're like, oh shit, we got to, you know. So we can't say a week from this Saturday, we're going to do another show. It may be less than a week. It may be a little 8 days. But no matter what, it'll be basically on a weekly basis. And like I said, we'll take it all the way through April, May, and June into the finals. And, of course, the NBA draft. And our last show will be the NBA free agency show early July. So stay with us all the way through July. Take us home here on this NBA Playoff Banter Podcast.
I truly enjoy doing this podcast with you, brother. I mean, we've been friends for a long time, but there's something I always enjoy by doing this first-round playoff prediction. It's like you're just getting excited and ready, and who knows what's going to happen. The only thing, Chris, I hope that doesn't happen is that I just hope that whoever's playing right now just stays playing. Because for the last couple of years,
yeah,
the Western Conference has been decimated by injuries. And I know a lot of those injuries have occurred in the regular season, but we've had a phenomenal regular season, and we have a first round that maybe even in the East is more entertaining than normal, but just, you know, for the grace of God and the basketball God, just keep it this way.
Well,
let's try and avoid the
injuries. I think the Warriors should keep Zha Zha off the court then. I mean, he shouldn't be
able
to play.
Well, there's a reason McGee started. I think there's a reason Kerr put McGee in the starting lineup, who actually played his ass off today. But I think there might have been a little bit of reason behind that. Let's not get some bad blood of chippiness going. But, yeah, I just hope that injury bug stays away and we're able to witness everything. And Houston, you had the best record in the NBA this season. Let's see if you'll step up and get done, because this is a team that has not been NBA Finals since, I believe, Hakeem Olajuwon against the Knicks in 93, if memory serves. It's been a while. So,
95
we'll
was the last 95. Championship. Year before 96, the Bulls, when he came back.
Oh,
so 94,
no, yeah,
95, they won the championships back-to-back.
Good old John Starks went like 3-for-19 when I was living in Fargo, North Dakota, on like a blizzard with like windstorms and the river rising by my house. And the Knicks choked it away in Game 7. But nonetheless, we will not have a Glory Day podcast today. But, hey, the NBA playoffs have started. My Golden State Warriors are 1-0. We have 3 more games to watch today. All 4 other series start tomorrow, and it's time to get rolling. So, Chris and I will be back soon. Again, if Cleveland gets down 2-0, you can sure as hell predict we're going to have a podcast following how is this happening and what is LeBron doing and what may happen since then. So,
LeBron's legacy. We're talking it for 7 hours straight. Just kidding.
This guy's pure garbage. LeBron sucks. I can't believe people think he's the greatest ever. How do you get down 2-0 with a guy like, oh my God.
you to tune in. We love all of y'all to listen. I know a lot of you listen to football and college basketball. Now we're on the NBA stuff, so it's only going to get better. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy watching hoops. The boys will be back soon. Have a good day. Peace.